Welcome to The Yarn, a school library journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. A couple of months ago, my good friend Donalyn Miller and I published our second book together, The Common Sense Guide to Your Classroom Library. As we approach winter break, I thought it would be a fun time to hop on the phone with Donalyn and talk about making reading plans, which is such an important part in helping kids become independent readers. So in this episode, you're going to listen to Donalyn Miller and I talk about making reading plans and how those plans help move kids towards independence. Donalyn Miller, we are approaching one of the most glorious reading times of the calendar year. Winter break. What are your thoughts as a reader as you inch closer to reading break or winter break each year?
You know, I think about our students and how they are with us for such a short period of time. And one of the reasons that the 40 book challenge ever happened is that there's 40 weeks in a school year. And I see the, you know, our goal for kids with everything is independence. And that includes reading. But we know that turning over the role of reading to that child, it takes time. And I see the holiday breaks or school breaks that we have as practice, as practice for that summer break that's coming. So how can we empower our students to be more self-directed in keeping their independent reading lives going when we're not there to kind of nurture it along? So I think it's practice. So I think talking with kids about what they might be reading and when they might be reading is the conversation that can be had. We should always celebrate with kids big plans for the holiday breaks and small plans for the holiday breaks, because not everyone goes off somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of my holiday breaks as a kid babysitting my siblings because my parents had to work. So you bet I got a lot of reading in this regard. And my siblings too. I made them read too. But I think then we can help kids find time to read, because it's really almost, I don't want to say like occupational therapy, but it is almost like that. We're trying to help them figure out how to navigate the real world challenges that might prevent us from continuing a daily reading habit. And adults have those obstacles in our lives as readers. And so I think we can model for kids how to make reading plans. I mean, that's how Book-A-Day got started, was I didn't think I was reading enough at the end of the school year. My kids weren't either. And I wanted to recommit to that daily habit of reading. And that's how Book-A-Day got started.
Yeah. So with my fifth graders, I often think about kind of like there's four main breaks in a year, right? We have Thanksgiving break, we have winter break, spring break, and then we have the extended time when we're apart in the summer. And I love having those little practice times to try this out, and each time we'll be able to reflect. So as we inch closer to winter break, we'll spend some time talking about what helped us find success reading on Thanksgiving break, what made reading over Thanksgiving break challenging. And one of the things that I love about the way the year is designed, just not that they plan the calendar for me to help my kids with their reading lives, but Thanksgiving break for most of my readers is the hardest break. It's the shortest break, and families, Sharps included, try to cram in so many things over those 5 days that when my students came back from Thanksgiving break, a lot of them were like, wow, I wanted to read. I had a plan, but it was really hard. So I love using what we can learn from those 5 days. And then at our school, winter break is 2 weeks. So,
well, and then we have families that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but they use that break as a time to see family that they haven't seen in a while. You know, we have almost that extended winter series of holidays for many families. And so our family is big, so we pick and choose, right? Sometimes you see people at the fall break. Sometimes you see them at the winter. You're right. Families do cram a lot of things in. I think you and I have had some success as teachers with two things, the making of the reading plans, the celebrating of all the plans. And then when we come back from the break, how did it go? No judgment.
No judgment, no grading
of something like that. But let's say a kid said, you know, I am not reading every day and I'm going to try to read 20 minutes a day, every day of the break. Okay. Well, that's a goal for them. They come back and maybe they only read 20 minutes, 4 days of the break instead of all 8 days or whatever, but that's still something to be celebrated.
And there's a good chance that's more than they read in the past.
Yeah. And also that child can self-reflect and go, why didn't it happen? And we can also value, hey, sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's the commitment that sticks, right? And then pairing that when you come back from maybe winter break with something like a survey where we can go in and kind of take the temperature of the school year thus far, have our kids stop, pause, celebrate for a minute what they've accomplished as readers. And then, hey, what do we want to do next? Another way of plans. It's that cycle of planning, reflecting that I think helps kids become more aware of what they need as a reader.
And get some one step closer to that independence you had talked about before, which, like you say, it's always the goal, right? We throw that word independent reading and independent readers around so much.
Which word's most important, Mr. Sharp?
Reader.
Reading or independent? Yeah. You know, I mean, like we need, but I think they're both equally as important. Yes.
Yeah.
But we can't forget that that independent part is there. And also we have to recognize that the term independent reading is itself a school-based term. I have a giant pile of picture books here, by the way, because some people have been releasing their book lists for things like Caldecott and other things. And I have a giant pile of books here, but I'm planning to read them. That's my next reading plan. But when I'm sitting here reading these, I don't go, oh, look, I'm independently reading. I am just reading.
Just reading.
That's the goal. The independent part is assumed after a certain stage of life.
Yeah. And you have helped me realize how important it is that reading is not something that is a school thing. It is just something that we do. Reading, we cannot let reading own school. And for so many, or school, reading be owned by school, or kids to see reading as something that we just do for school and as a part of school. So these are great opportunities for us to help them see themselves as readers, and reading is something that they are choosing to do as part, like they're going to play Fortnite, they're going to watch football. I want them to have fun with their families, but hopefully we can find some time in our lives throughout the year to do that reading, which we know is so valuable and so much fun. It's not like we're asking them to do push-ups, right?
Well, and it's the way we approach it with kids. You know, I was talking to some educators in California about this yesterday. Sometimes the way we talk to kids about reading makes it seem undesirable to them. And the footnote to that would be sometimes we think if kids aren't suffering, they're not learning, right? Like, oh, if they're enjoying reading too much, it must not be rigorous. But isn't that ultimately the goal? I mean, so many conversations about teaching reading and nurturing young people right now, where we're not talking about the readers very much at all. Who is reading for? Who is reading for? I mean, it's for readers. If readers are not in the mix in the things that we're talking about, I think we're way off base there.
Yeah, I agree. In these reading wars that we seem to be having, the reader is being left behind time and time again.
Where's the reader?
We've talked about making plans. We've talked about how helping kids reflect on those plans. I think it's important that we also involve parents in it, not in like the making of plans, but just like let them know, like, hey, we're working on this. Just know that your kid is going to be working on it, not to put any pressure on them. Also, like, give them an out. Like, we know that times are busy. So I'm going to let parents know what we've been doing in class. But I want to know, Donalyn, what kind of plans will you be making at the end of the year? Like, are you trying to like look forward to like reading for like 2023 reading? Is there anything that you're trying to finish up as a reader? Like, what are your plans as a reader heading to
the end of the year? Can I recommend a book on this program?
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. I've already started reading 2023 books because on the plane home from California yesterday, I read Hands by Tori Maldonado,
which is his new book
that just came out. And yeah, I'm already looking for kids to give it to, but I can't wait for that book to come out. I also, because his books are such a great length for read aloud.
I was thinking that, like about 150 pages. Yeah.
Great read aloud. Anyway, so I've already started on the 2023 books. The Nerdies are coming up, the end of the year awards. Yep. They help me, actually those lists and awards help me prioritize because I get a lot of books. I buy a lot of books and then those help me prioritize what I want to read next. But as I said, I have a giant, probably 50 picture books here to read this week.
Yeah. I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. I know I'm going to miss something, but I want to make sure before I start thinking too much into the books of 2023 that I've read a lot of the great books that have come out, because as we go on to the next year and all these new books are coming out, it's really hard. So I agree 100%. The best of list, the Nerdy Award list, the Newbery and Caldecott and all the ALA awards.
The New York Times Best Illustrated Book list just came out, the National Book Awards. I mean, isn't it great that we have so many wonderful books and that we can also be stewards to get those books into the hands of kids? It's pretty great. And I just like to read. And you and I know the best thing, some of the best things being published today are books written for young people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Donlan, if you had any advice for an educator who maybe hasn't talked to their kids about reading heading into the break, what's one or two things that we can end this show with that you would tell that maybe that teacher trying to incorporate this sort of thing more into their classroom?
This is one of those times where that urge to require it becomes very strong. To require that kids accomplish some sort of academic task for you while they're on break. And I would also just like ask everyone to resist that urge. Mm. The kids need the family time and they need time to be self-directed as learners, or when will they ever? Think of it as a training wheels opportunity. I'm not trying to infantilize the children, of course, but this is a time for them to start taking more control of their reading lives. And it might be rocky for some. Some of them may be just waiting for this opportunity. What you're also teaching them to do, apart from reading, is you're teaching them how to self-reflect on their own learning and to take more responsibility for it. And I think that's beneficial everywhere. We know that when kids are given choice in what they read, they build confidence in their own decision-making. They become more confident. Hey, I chose that book and it worked out. I made a good decision. I think that's a feedback loop all of us can support. So recognize that model. Tell them what you're going to do as a reader too, and be vulnerable, and then come back and tell them if it didn't work. I've talked to so many readers right now who are adults who are not feeling that their reading life is where it might have been in the past, and they're trying to get back to that. So this is an opportunity for all of us, maybe. We're not inspiring kids to read if we ourselves are not inspired to do it.
Thank you to my good friend and co-author, Donlan Miller, for chatting with me for this episode about young readers. Thank you to my co-host, Travis Yonker, for helping me produce this episode. Our theme song was created by the super talented author-illustrator, Philip Stead. Additional music for this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. If you have a minute, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a rating or review on your podcast listening app of choice. That helps us get this show to more and more book-loving friends. I'm Colby Sharp. Thanks for listening.